Welcome everyone to the Creative Creativity Show. This is Winston Wilson. I am so blessed and happy to be here today. I've got a wonderful, wonderful guest for us to talk to today. What you saw there was just a snippet of lyrics. I'm so super excited because we just had our final reading before we go into production. So that is fantastic. So today I've got the wonderful D. Thomas. D, welcome to the show. It's great to have you. D, thank you for coming out to that final reading. I hope you enjoyed it. It was great to see you.
I did. It was amazing.
So D was on back when we had our audio only version of this show. And one of the things I shared with her is that her episode was one of the most downloaded and viewed episodes we've ever had. And the reason why, D, is that you were being so authentically yourself in that, and you shared what's going on with you and some of the challenges you've gone through in your life. And I got a sense that the audience really dug that, because all of us are going through something and all of us are feeling something. And the courage you show by just being you and being what's up with you and what you're up to is so phenomenal. And I think that's one of the reasons why people are so into it. So Dee, before we get into our regular sessions, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you are a filmmaker, but you may do other things. You might climb Mount Everest. I don't know. You might be doing stuff that the rest of us don't know about. So tell us a little bit about what you're up to.
So Dee Thomas, director, a little bit of DP work, photography. But outside of filmmaking, I also like to just be a normal person and travel, go hiking, spend time with my family.
So I was right. You do go hiking. You do go hiking. You just don't go to Mount Everest. You go somewhere else.
Right.
Where else do you mentioned travels, and I want to swear that I saw a post of yours somewhere where you were actually somewhere, like you're like on top of a mountain or something like that. Where have you gone to recently?
Well, I just got back from Chicago. But usually I travel for my birthday. I always go out of the country. I didn't do that this year, but last year I went to Rome. And I always go to places for specific reasons, and it started out where I would go places because I seen something in a movie and I wanted to go there for that specific scene, just to say I was there.
Right, that's cool.
And then I started going places for food. So that's how Rome came about, because I kept hearing about their pasta, and everything that you've ever heard about their pasta is correct. It's like I can't ever eat pasta in the United States again.
Really? Why? What's the difference?
I'm not really sure. It just tastes really, I want to say it tastes really good, but it's just like the ingredients, like it's fresh. It's, I don't know, it doesn't taste like it's been processed. It tastes like you can really tell they were back there making the noodles.
Right. I think you're right. I think that we are, a lot of stuff that we get are chemically laced and processed.
Right.
It's not the same. I was watching something recently where there was like this French bread bakery, and people were back there making the bread. And then when they made the bread, they brought the bread out and people bought the bread. And I was like, but our bread, and the reason why they was going through is they were talking about how we're the first ones that came up with slicing the bread. And in order to slice the bread, we had to put chemicals in the bread because it could stay in the supermarket shelf longer. So the bread that we eat on this isn't the same thing like the bread that's created.
All right. Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. I know the last time I was in Paris, I know people buying like those, and it's not sliced up.
Yeah. I'm from Jamaica, and we had this bread that I grew up remembering called hardo bread. Do not ask me why we call it hardo bread. All I know, it was bread sort of like in mounds of bread that was just made, and then you would just get it. There was no chemicals inside of it. And then you would take it, you would chop it off, piece of it, and then you might put a piece of butter on it or something else on top of it. And it tastes phenomenal. You can't get it in the United States because hardly anybody makes it anymore. I had an uncle who had a bakery in New York, and he made it. Otherwise, than that, people didn't make it. So that we digress. So everyone there, we digress because I was excited about hearing about Dee going to Rome, which is a place that's on my list to go to. So it sounded like you had a phenomenal time there.
I did.
So we're going to, so on the Courage Creativity Show, we're going to break the conversation down into really cool three T's. So the first one is a tool or a technique that Dee uses in her creative life. And so it can be something physical, it can be software, it can be a mindset, something along those lines that she uses to get herself ready to, or get Dee going. So Dee, I want to make sure I said that right. Get you ready to go in and make sure you're being prepared to be as creative as possible. So Dee, why don't you share with everyone here a little bit about the tools that you use?
So I know the last time I was on the show, we kind of talked about that. And I said, I will, depending on the project, especially if it's a personal project, I will live in the emotions. So I will watch a lot of movies and listen to songs and mainly just isolate myself so that I can stay in that emotional state of mind. But I found that that's super heavy and it was like, it's not always good. And it affects like a lot of things because then, you know, you go out and people are like, why are you so sad? Like what's happening? And it's like, no, this is for the art.
That's right.
So I've kind of shied away from that. I don't use that as, I still do it a little bit as far as like visuals, but now I mainly use music, especially for a current script that I'm working on and the previous one, the last project that I filmed. I found that once I find a song that relates to that particular project, I will play it on repeat. And it helps me to stay in that mindset. And then once I turn it off, I can go about my normal day without it. Still living.
Find a song. How do you find the song? Where do you go to get the song?
So, because I don't always listen to the radio all the time, sometimes I can find music in movies. So, soundtracks to movies, it's great. So when I'm watching a movie, I will I'll Google like what the song is, and then, you know, sometimes the song in the movie is the version for the movie and not exactly the original. But for the last project that I did, I watched a Tyler Perry movie, and the song that the actor was singing, I liked the lyrics. But when I Googled it, I found the original singer. And when I listened to her version of it, it stuck with me. So I was able to write my script to that song because it gave me all of the emotions that I needed.
How do you write your scripts? You just, after you've gotten that inspiration, do you use a particular tool to use it? Do you use a Word? Do you use a specific software? Do you write it? How do you do your scripts?
I just started using Final Draft. But before the process starts out, everything is in my head, and then I start writing it on sticky notes, and then I have like a wall, and I put the sticky notes there, and then I sit for a moment. And then I start to put all of the thoughts together, like get rid of things that may be too much. And then I start writing like an outline, and then everything starts to flow. Because at first it might be bits and pieces of dialogue or bits and pieces of what I think that a scene should hold. And then I start building from there before I put it into the actual script program.
Wow. So now that you're using Final Draft, do you dig it, or is it working for you? Final Draft.
Yeah, I think it's been a learning curve, but I know that it's the standard. I'm pretty late to the game using it, but it's not as difficult. It's just a little bit. I think it's easier because you are able to like bring in like other scripts, edit and do like it has a lot of tools that's very helpful. And also you can take it on the go. So I have it on my iPad as well.
Oh yeah, that's right. I've used the mobile version and it's pretty good. So that is fantastic. So let's talk about the next piece here. So everyone, hopefully you got some of those great pieces from D in regards to the tools that D uses to get things going. But D, in our second section here, we're really going to talk about, I'm going to put you in the role of a teacher or a professor. Someone, you know, I think we all have real thanks and reverence for teachers and professors. But I want to give you that role here today, and I would like for you to share with the audience as if you were teaching them something about filmmaking and something that they could take from it. So, you know, that's something I can actually go about and use. What is something like that you would want to share with us?
So first and foremost, I would say that you have to know your why. And make sure that your why is genuinely for you. I feel as though when I show up as myself, completely myself, and I create for myself as far as what my why is, I find that it's better. It's less frustrating, and it feels like I'm accomplishing what it is that I'm setting out to do. So always stay true to yourself, even if it means that a lot of people aren't a fan of it. There's somebody out there that it's reaching. So for me, I know that when I'm my most vulnerable and I'm speaking my truth, I create from my truth, I reach an entire audience that I sometimes forget about, and they are the most important audience because those are the people that it inspire, that gives hope, and it shows them that they can do it too. But with also creating and being yourself comes criticism, comes not a lot of fans, but I say, and I've had to learn it the hard way, all of that is a part of your mindset, growing your mindset to embrace all of that and turn it into the challenges and the criticism to learn from it, embrace it, and use it to help you push. Because like everything that you put into your craft, it's, you know, it's part of the mastery of it, the good and the bad, but it's also about your mindset. And all of that is to help, not just for creating, but personal growth as well.
You know, you made such a good point there about the criticism. Because every single creator is criticized.
Right.
And they just are. And the second point that you mentioned, and this is one I'd like for us to talk a little bit more about, is this whole concept of fans. Yeah, and what's a fan? I have the pleasure of working with an organization that helps music artists find their full potential and, you know, get their marketing and all of that out there. And the biggest thing that we share with all of these music artists is that there are fans for everybody. There's at least, at a minimum, 10,000 fans for every single one of us as a creative. The hard part is, where are those 10,000 people? that is the hard part. 10,000 people saw value in what we did as a creative, and they contributed $100 to us as a creative. We'd all be doing okay.
Right.
The hard part is that piece. And I want to get your thoughts on this with the with the advent of so many ways and so many inputs, right? There's so many different ways of finding fans. It, to me, maybe it's because of just where I'm at in this season of life, it seems challenging to find appropriate platforms. Like, I don't, so there's a philosophy, like, should you just spread yourself across all the platforms and do a bunch of stuff piecemeal, or should you just focus on one? And I would like to get your thoughts on about how we as creatives, what are some ways you think that we should be trying to find our own fans through our own voice?
Well, I know one, and I know I'm guilty of this too, is imposter syndrome and comparison and all of that. So what works for other people doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to work for you. That's their journey, and that's for them, and that's what's working for them. Yeah. So what I found is that I had to turn that part of my brain off and just create for myself. Because when I'm trying to create or I post for others, I find that's when I start overthinking, and I'm like, okay, these people stop liking my posts. Now these people are liking my posts. Oh, yeah. And then you get into that slump where then you just stop posting, and then, or you get into a thing where you feel like you got to constantly post every day so that you can stay in people's timeline and their feed. And it's just too much. Like, I feel like depending on what your content is and what the message is, if you just create for self, like, make the post for you because you like it. And I found that once I started doing that, like, more and more people, like, people that I didn't even know were following me or liking my posts or commenting or sending me messages. And I think it just makes it, for me, my target audience, it's people who can relate to me, relate to the things that I'm sharing with them. So I have to be mindful of that, that when I'm posting, not to post because I think, oh, I need people to see out here still creating. No, I need to post so that people can see, like, okay, I'm not creating, I'm not on someone's set, but I am doing this. I am giving back to the community, or I am showing up and supporting my peers, like, making it real relatable for others that it's okay to not constantly be creating, that sometimes you need a break.
Yeah. I think you're right. There's so many schools of thought about that whole thing you just went through. How often to post, when to post. I was like, that doesn't make posting shouldn't be like a, I don't know, sounds more like a job.
No, it's like the time frame when to post, when the day to post, like, yeah. And like, what, like, now I've just done this thing where I don't care. I'll post at 3 a.m.
Yeah. That's right. I think you're right. I think people were saying, oh, yeah, you got to post right at 8 a.m. when people are going to work. I was like, man, 8 a.m., man, I'm doing my thing. Why am I stopping what I'm doing to post? Just so, yeah.
Right.
Maybe there is logic to it, but I love the fact that you're just being you. And I feel the same way.
Like, yeah, because I got people that keep trying to get me on TikTok, and I'm just like, I think TikTok works for certain people on what it is that they're trying, that whatever your content is. And that's why I say, like, the different platforms, you have to see, like, who your target audience is and what exactly the message is that you're putting out. Because sometimes what I post on Instagram, I won't post on Facebook because I know my family and the church is on Facebook.
That's right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. I have a Facebook thing for, like, family, like, whenever I first came on Facebook. But then I have a Facebook page just for me as a writer, that where I'm posting things that have to deal with me as a writer or as a public speaker. I had this one person tell me, "Oh, just intertwine the two." I was like, "No, man, I got my auntie on here. I got people."
Yeah, they don't care about none of that, especially mine. They're like, if I haven't worked with Tyler Perry yet, I haven't made it yet. So I know, don't post.
That's right. You know, I'm like I said earlier, I'm from Jamaica, and no one cares until you are popular. And then they're like, "Well, you know, he's from Jamaica." That's when they care. But right now, it's like just, but like, where you work is the question. Like that's the only thing that's on their mind. You're so right. Social media. The challenge I have, D, and I don't know if you feel the same way, is that I'm unbelievably curious all the time. And so when there is a new platform that shows up, even if I don't know how to use it, which is the truth most of the time, I get curious about it. I don't know how to use all of them. There are ones that I know I don't know about. There's just exist in the world. They don't get to my demographic. I have no idea. But when I find out about it, I go, "Oh, what's that? How does that work? Oh, sure, maybe I should do some of that." And then I get to this point, sort of like what you're saying, like, yeah, I don't think the people who are into Winston are on that platform. I don't think that they're down with me on that platform.
Yeah, you definitely gotta know if the platform is really for you or not. And then once you find, with the ones that are, you definitely have to learn all the tools for it so that you can use it properly.
That's the hard part. Right, because I find out that say I'll just we'll just I won't say any names, but say you find out one, it's like, yeah, I really dig that one. I really like this one. And then you realize there's a whole nother world of ways I'm supposed to be working in that platform that I had no idea about. In order to hit the what they call it, to trip the algorithm or to do something else, I gotta do this whole list of things. And I was like, what? I don't like it as much now.
Right. Now it feels like work.
It's a whole list of things I got to do. Shoot, that ain't the same thing. It's not the same love of things. So, tell a little bit about. Let's talk about this piece here, which I think everyone will find important, and that is tomorrow, and in the future for you. What do you have that you're working on now? And what's coming up in the future for D?
Well, now I am in pre-production for my next feature film. So I just started casting, and moving into doing test shots with them to really see what their on-screen chemistry is going to be like. So that's where I'm at currently, as well as collaborating with other filmmakers on their projects. And I got into the documentary world, so I've
Oh.
been working for it. I like it. It's not, it's different as far as on the camera side, but I like it because I've learned on this current documentary that I've been working with one of my friends and colleague. It's a lady sneakerhead documentary.
Wow.
And it's allowed me to
That's cool.
travel and meet a lot of people. Like I had an idea of sneakerheads, but I did not know how deep that world really is.
I have a friend who's a sneakerhead,
So
and he once
it's
shared
fun.
with me his room of sneakers. It wasn't a closet of sneakers. It was a room of sneakers. was like,
Right.
whoa.
Same with my friend. It was a room. It looks like a museum. And
Yeah,
every sneaker has a story.
like a shrine of sneakers. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder, I
So.
don't know how, is there a world for you that you're so immersed in, like a sneakerhead, where you're just kind of all in that world? Do you have a world like that just part of your life?
No, I don't. I probably should. I really honestly, I'm somebody that I probably should just focus on one thing so that I can be just immersed in it. But I find that I'm somebody that learns to be good at everything. and I haven't found that one thing that just like consumes me yet.
No, I haven't either. And part of that is that curiosity that's there.
Right. Yeah, like as soon as I've got one thing and I think this might be it, then I stumble onto something else and I'm like, ooh, and then I jump down the rabbit hole for that.
I'm sometimes I honor or I'm envious slightly about people who are so immersed in a world like a sneakerhead, but that's all they think about. I was watching this video of these guys who sit around and they restore old cars all day long. Like, they just polish them up and they make them low riders and all that kind of stuff. I was like, that is such a dedication to a thing. It's really cool. I find it curious to keep learning stuff about all kinds of things. I'm like you. Like when we first started, like I shared, we were doing this on audio, and now I'm doing it on platforms, and I got videos and trailers and all that. I learned all to do that, and I learned to do all of this, and I love that. It keeps our brains going, in my opinion, at least my brain going. So you got the documentary about the sneakerhead. Is that something that's you got some time, or is that coming out soon, or is that something that we should wait for down the road for that to come out?
Right now, so they have a EP for that who is so we've got the scissor reel and it's currently being pitched, because the overall idea for it is to actually make it into a series and really travel all around the world to find all of the lady sneakerheads all around the world.
That's cool. I would watch that because I'm sure that it exists, right? I'm
Yeah,
sure.
no. We went to this convention in California, and it was it. My mind was blown because like the age difference. We came across someone who I'm sure is someone's grandmother, and I was just like, oh, like there's no age limit. It's cool.
Isn't that cool? I love things like that, quite frankly, that brings together people despite the things that we typically use to divide us. That you see people who are different demographics, age, and ethnicity, all of those things. I love that kind of world. That's why I like those kind of worlds. Years ago, I used to go to the San Diego Comic-Con. And as nerdy as that is, which I'm like a B level nerd. I'm not like a I don't pass all of the criteria, but I'm there. And I'm the thing that I duck about it is that everybody was there. There were people who were black and white, Asian and Hispanic, and there were short people, tall people of different shapes and sizes. It was just, I was like that, and they all loved one thing. They all loved being a geek. I was like that was kind of dope to me, and I think there's more of those worlds than they are the worlds where people are just like, I don't like you.
Yeah, no, most definitely. Yeah, and I find that music and the arts really brings a lot of people together.
That's so true. So here's a segment here, D. It's a portion of the show where all of our guests gets an opportunity to ask me anything that they might have on their mind. So this is the Ask Winston segment. One day I'm going to make a bunch of sound effects and like a trailer that woo-hoo, this is the Ask Winston segment of the show. But that is what this is. So ask me anything that you'd like to ask or know about me.
So, with the play, was any of that personal?
I have
It had a personal feel to it.
I have a personal reverence for hip hop. I just do. Years ago, when I was young, I went to Coney Island. I was part of this youth group that they would take the kids from my neighborhood in the summer. And they would take us, it was like a camp, and they would take us to various portions of New York, which was great because you got exposed to more things than what was in your town. So they took us to Coney Island, and I don't know if you remember, there's this ride that goes, all it is, you're sitting down on this ride, and it just goes up and down and around, it's like an easygoing ride. And we get to Coney Island, we take a bus there from where I live, and I get out, and I'm like, why are people so circled around that corny ride? Because it's like all you do is sit down there. You don't do nothing, you know. And it just goes up and down and around, up and down. I was like, why is so many? There was like this massive crowd around this thing. So I said, we gotta go and check it out. I must have been, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old, maybe something like that, maybe even younger. And then we go there. And then I'm like, what is that that's playing? And it was Rapper's Delight. That's why everybody was sitting there listening to going around watching that corny ride. Because they kept, to your point earlier about playing music on repeat, that's what they kept doing. They kept playing. Because as soon as they stopped playing and tried to play something else, the crowd would disperse. So then it would say, let's play it again and the crowd will come back. And I was like, what is that music? And how is that music? What is that? What is that? And I dug it. And then when I got back home, there was this used to be a department store not too far from where I live. So I went to the department store and I took my little allowance and I bought that record. I bought it and I brought it home and played it. And I played it over and over and over and over again. I invited all of my friends that was around where I grew up. It's like, have you ever heard this? And most of them had sort of heard it and kind of heard it. But it changed my life. I said, since then, hip hop is not just about just the culture and the music and all of the pieces that come about it. It too, like everything else, is something that we created. Like we created our own story out of music. There's a part in the play where one of the characters says, they took my trumpet away. And that's a real thing that happened. At some point, kids used to always get instruments at school when I was growing up. When you would start day one, you'd get instruments. And one day that stopped, but people said, hey, black people, was like, yo, we're gonna keep making music. you can take our instruments away, but that don't matter. We're gonna keep making the song. I'm a little conflating that trumpet being taken away is not the origin of hip hop necessarily, but it's not far from it. And to me, writing that story was indeed personal because now that hip hop has become like one of the most popular things on the planet Earth from a music perspective, there are every variation of hip hop as they are people. So there's hip hop from Japan, there's hip hop from Italy, there's hip hop from Africa, there's hip hop from everywhere. There's gangster hip hop, there is, I don't know what you'd call, you know, there's party hip hop, there's stripper hip hop, you know what I'm talking about. There's all these different kinds of things that exist out there. And to me, I love that, the fact that this one kind of music can actually mold itself to the environment of where the people live. You can't say that about every kind of music that's ever existed, but hip hop molds itself. So. Thank you for that question. I totally dig it. I am so excited about the future for that play lyrics because it's what hip hop is about. And it's not about the origin per se of hip hop, but it's about what the creation of hip hop did to people around that golden age time of hip hop. And quite frankly, I think it's still a golden age. I think we're still in it. There's hip hop I hear all the time. I don't love all of it because, you know, you just get to a certain point where you don't love everything. I didn't love every bit of hip hop when I was young. I'm not one of these people like, oh, I loved everything that came on the radio. No, heck no. Some of it was not good. It just wasn't. And I feel I don't have reverence. So everything that was made in a year was fantastic. That's not true. So So thank you for that question. Dee, here's the final question for you. And for this question, I'm going to go off camera, and this is going to be you and the audience. And this question is, I think you might have inspired this in our very first conversation. The question that you are going to have is that you're going to be talking to the audience as you personally, and somebody out there is going to say to themselves, I don't feel like being creative anymore. That's a waste of time. I'm going to get a job at the, you know, at the factory. I'm going to go do something else. And they come to you and they said, hey, D, I'm about to give up on this thing. And you say to them, nah, you got to keep going. So that's what the question is. And I'm going to take myself backstage and you're going to be talking to me. Okay.
Okay. So I've actually been in a situation like that before where I didn't have the motivation to create. I had a lot of writer's block going on, and every person that cared about me would try to get me to create. So I'm not going to say get back to it or anything like that. I'll just say take the time that you need. Whatever the reasons may be, maybe you just need a mental break. Maybe it's grief or lack of, whatever the reasons may be, take that moment to feel everything that you're feeling, because you don't want to force yourself to try to create, because then it's not going to come from a place of passion. It's not going to come from a place of you really wanting to do it. It's going to feel forced, and then you're going to feel bitter about it and not want to do it anymore, because I've done that. So really take the time to feel everything that you're feeling and work through that emotional, mental state that you're in. And eventually the love of art, the love of creating, all of that will come back when it's supposed to, like it will come back. But just in that moment, self-care is really important. And then once you come back, you can come back with a clearer mind.
That is so awesome. So thank you so much for that, Dee. Really appreciate that. So I see Dee Thomas Pictures, your email address there. What are some other ways that people can connect to what you're up to?
So Instagram, Dee Thomas Pictures, Facebook, my Facebook page, Dee Thomas Pictures. I think every platform, YouTube, all of that, you could find me, Dee Thomas Pictures.
That's awesome. I hope you can.
But mainly go to Instagram though.
Instagram, got it. So it's just so great to have you back on the show. It's so awesome. You are such a wonderful guest to have on the show, because you are coming from a real place. Creating pictures is not easy, as you know. It's hard, but it's so rewarding because it's really collaborative. In so many ways. You mentioned earlier that you watched, you used to watch movies as a way to get yourself prepared for something you were handling. What's a cool movie you've seen recently?
Okay, so it wasn't a movie, but I finally started watching the series This Is Us. Oh my gosh, the writing, the acting, everything about it is brilliant. Like it consumed me. Like I wasn't sleeping because I couldn't turn it off. I kept watching it.
I haven't seen that one. I know there's a whole bunch of people going, what? But I need to check that one out.
Yeah, no, you'll like it. It's good. It's good. It's amazing. The writing like really just took a hold of me. Like every emotion that you're supposed to feel, you feel it.
That's fantastic. I recently had a chance to go watch Dune 2.
Oh.
I went at 8 p.m. and it wasn't over at 11 p.m. until 11 p.m. And I could tell that for some people, that's a late night hour, you know, to be up watching a movie. I tell you, my eyes were like wide open the whole 2 hours of the movie. And not because it's a great story and a great acting, but just from a filmmaking perspective, that, what's his name? Vinod, I always pronounce his name incorrectly. But the director, creator guy, he took that vision, and I was saying to them, to myself, like, man, this is such a wonderfully crafted masterpiece. Like, the special effects are so well done that you don't really know it's, you know, like, your mind knows the special effects, but when you're watching it, you can't really say, well, that's a special effect. Like, because a lot of movies now are getting to that point where it's kind of easy to see a special effect. Like, yeah, that's totally a special effect.
Right.
It's total CGI. Oh, we got it. Our brains are starting to get really attuned to that. But in this movie, I couldn't tell the difference from makeup to special effect to every single scene. Like, you could take a picture of every single thing that happened in it, and it'd be its own poster. It was just that well done.
I love that. Because I know the first one was like that, but I love these sets like that, where you could just pause and it's just a movie poster.
I could go and watch it again. Because in 3 hours, it's like, oh, 3 hours again? But it was just that riveting. And also, the story was phenomenal and all of the other pieces of it. But there was some moments in it, and there's this YouTube channel where these guys are watching various movies with special effects, and they criticize the special effects. Like, they'll watch big budget movies that people think are great, and they'll be like, nah, that special effects is corny, that's horrible. But they watched the first Dune, and they were like, no, this is it, everything about it. They were like, this is amazing. And on this movie, he took that same thing and, like, 3X'd it. It's just that fantastic. It just really is. Dee, it's been wonderful to have you. I'm assuming that if asked, you will come back to the show again.
Oh, of course, of course.
And please let us know how we can help you. For those of you who are out there, be courageous with your creativity, like Dee shared. There are moments where you're going to have some internal battles and trepidation about what you should do. You have been created on this planet to create something. You have not just been created here just to mill about and to just do manufacturing stuff. You are here to create something, and that creation can be anything. That creation can be beyond life, but nurturing life. It can be creating a building. It can be creating software. It can be creating some food. It can be creating so many different things, but you are here to do that. So please take advantage of that. If you want to be down with the Courageous Creativity Show, please let us know. You can go find us on Instagram at the Courageous Creativity Show. You can find us there directly and let us know, because we'd love to have you. Dee, so wonderful to have you. Please come back again. And for everyone else that's out there, take care of yourself, be creative, and let your spirit rise.